Heavenly Father, we pray that you would bless this time, and Lord, tonight just is so much more evident that we're to stand fast in your truth. And so I just pray that you would speak to our hearts through your word, Lord, and that, Lord, we would be where you want us to be. Lord, that just the commendation to the church at Philadelphia, Lord, was that we're to remain faithful to your word and not deny your name. And we need your help. So, Lord, we just pray that you would pour out your Holy Spirit and lead us and guide us, especially in these times, exciting times, Lord. And so we pray this in Jesus' holy and precious name. Amen. You know, really, and you could take everything that's going on in the prophetic calendar. As far as the church is concerned, we're only awaiting one more thing to be fulfilled. It's really a culmination of two things, that the number of the Gentiles is fulfilled, which will then bring the catching up of the church for Christ to come back for his church. It's interesting, though, when you consider that Israel, the next thing on their prophetic calendar, and we'll get to it, and I'm just going to kind of, you know, whet your appetite a little bit and give you the next thing on their prophetic calendar is the coming of Messiah. So these things are kind of coming to a head, and it's all orchestrated perfectly. You know, there's a reason why when he said, you've been faithful to my word and you haven't denied my name, right before that he says, you have a little strength. And, you know, to a great extent, it's becoming more and more evident that the church is smaller and small, you know, is smaller than what it looks like. Okay? And a lot of that is because no longer is the institution of the church operating according to the word of God. It's really kind of going with the flow of the world today. And we know that. We see that in so many things. And so 2 Thessalonians 2, it says, brethren, concerning the coming of our Lord Jesus Christ and our gathering together to him, we ask you, and that's, you know, we know from 1 Thessalonians 1 that we would be harpazoed. Everybody has a problem with the word rapture because it's not found in the Bible. And it's just a Latin translation of the Greek harpazo, which is to be caught up, and we that understanding the catching up of the church. There is an event that is coming that nobody knows. It's going to be in the twinkling of an eye, and there's a difference between the catching up in the clouds where Jesus is not visible, all right? And the Bible and Paul clearly talks about that, and in fact, the angel that's sitting there with the disciples and watching Jesus ascend, right, up into the clouds, says, what are you looking at? He's going to come, in, you know, just the way that he went. And so we understand that there's going to be a coming in the clouds. That's going to be the catching up of the church. He's going to return, and he's going to step foot back on earth. And when that happens, he's going to rule and reign. And so we've been through the 70th week of Daniel. We've been through 1st and 2nd Thessalonians, recapturing that understanding of the eschatology as Scripture lays it out and pulling in all of the verses. And here's the thing. Look, I know that there's pre-trib, there's mid-trib, there's, you know, there are those that believe that Jesus is going to catch the church up because it says saints in the book of Revelation, right? He's going to catch the church up, and then they're going to all of a sudden appear when he's returning all at the same time, riding on the horse, which makes absolutely zero sense. But it's clear that there will be those that are saved. And when it talks about the saints, that's going to be those of Jewish descent that are going to put their faith in Jesus Christ, and those in the world that are left in the world during that time of wrath that are not going to take the number of the beast. So we know that that's coming. So we've kind of reestablished here through the last couple months the eschatology, our understanding of the Scriptures. We believe very clearly that when you pull all the Scriptures together, it can be nothing else but a pre-trib, not appointed to wrath, And so the whole 7 years really is the day of the Lord, that awesome day when the pouring out of God's wrath. Some put it only in the last 3.5 years and call that only the Great Tribulation, all these different things. But when you put it all together, we're waiting for the return for Christ to come for his church. And according to the 2 Thessalonians, the removal of the one that now restrains, who is at work in the church, the Holy Spirit of God. He's going to be taken out of the way. He's not going to be removed from the earth. And so we understand that those that call upon the name of the Lord, he's going to work kind of in the same ways that he did back in the Old Testament times when one's faith was reconciled to them for righteousness. So there's a lot there. So just keep reading your Bible, and some of this stuff will make sense if you don't know. But he said, the gathering together of him be asked you not to be soon shaken or mind or troubled either by spirit or by word or by letter, as it from us, as though the day of Christ had come. Let no one deceive you by any means, for that day will not come unless the falling away comes first and the Son of Man is revealed, the son of perdition. We'll talk a little bit more about the falling away. And that kind of gives us, you know, especially in 2019, things seem to be ramping up. Who opposes and exalts himself above all that is called God or is worshipped, so that he sits as God in the temple of God, showing himself that he is God. We know that from the 70th week of Daniel, Daniel chapter 8 and Daniel 12, that he's the son of perdition. He's going to speak blasphemous things. And even Jesus himself legitimized this scripture by saying, as it was written in the book of Daniel, talking about the desolation of abomination of desolation, sorry, yeah. I knew that was a couple of T-I-O-N words, but the abomination of desolation, when he sets himself up in the temple's going to be rebuilt, all those things. So do you not remember that when I was still with you, I told you these things? And now you know what is restraining, that he may be revealed in his own time, that is brought to light. For the mystery of lawlessness, that is the mystery of sin and lawlessness, is already at work, and one only he who now restrains will do so until he is taken out of the way, understanding that, you know, there's nowhere. Jesus said, you know, God will get, or I think maybe Paul said, you know, how much more freely, you guys who are being earthly fathers know how to give good gifts to your children, how much more will your heavenly Father give you his Holy Spirit if you just ask? There's nowhere in Scripture that suggests that the Holy Spirit will ever be taken out of the church and we're going to be left, you know, to fend for ourselves. So we understand that this the one who now restrains is taken out of the way, that is because the church, the true church, those who have put their faith in Jesus Christ, who believe that this is the Word of God, are the only thing that are restraining those things from happening and stuff. You know, if I talk tonight about President Trump, some people are going to get mad, some people are, you know, get all kind of crazy look. And just so you understand what I voted, I didn't vote for a pastor in chief. I voted for, you know, a commander in chief. And understand something, where I'm coming from, he's the most pro-life, pro-Israel, pro-family, the Constitution obviously takes a far back seat to the Bible, but the understanding that the government was created to protect the citizens of the United States. He's the most pro-Constitution. I mean, this guy, apart from, you know, his character, we can debate his character all day long. My concern is this: he's the most pro-church, pro-Christian president that we've had in a long time. Okay, and so when I talk about him, don't get all worked up. I'm not trying to defend his tweeting and all the other things. And there's a specific reason I believe that he won. against all odds. And it's kind of unbelievable what's coming up, so I'll throw that little carrot out there too. And so the lawless one will be revealed, the man of sin, the man of perdition, whom the Lord will consume with his breath of his mouth and destroy with the brightness of his coming. The coming of the lawless one is according to the working of Satan with all power, signs, and lying wonders. You know, that's, I talk about it a lot. We you know, when people were leaving actually even our fellowship and going after the signs and wonders movements, I was warning everybody, listen, just because it's miraculous or a sign or a wonder, or it seems that way, doesn't necessarily mean that it's from God, because God has given Satan some allowances, and even at the end of times that there are going to be signs and wonders that might even fool the elect. And so, and don't get all caught up in Calvinism and stuff. The elect, when you're talking about Old Testament times, the elect is talking about the children of Israel, because God elected Israel to be his banner to the world, all right, and they will again be his elect. But, you know, where was I going there? It's the election. It messes me up every time. Those isms are just worthless. I'm sorry. But, you know, he's going to consume, the signs and wonders. So we never, I warn people about it, you know. There are those who believe that the sign of the baptism of the Holy Spirit is speaking in tongues. Well, you got to be careful with that, because, you know, Satan's a counterfeiter. And, you know, the true, and just so you understand where we're coming from, and the Bible is very clear. Paul spells it out when he talks about the manifestations of the Holy Spirit. The sign of the baptism of the Holy Spirit is love. An overwhelming agape love. Because if you have all those other things and you have not love, it's worthless, right? So, we, you know, signs and wonders. We believe that the manifestations are for today, everything done decently and in order. We see them manifested here sometimes when we get together and pray, when we have special times of afterglows. One of the manifestations is discernment, and we're to have discerning of spirits. There's a reason why we're to have discerning of spirits, and it's because of that. And we see all kinds of wackiness going on in the church today, especially today, because the institutions of the church all over the place are being prepared for what's coming, and that is a one-world religion. Okay, so we want to be discerning, filled with the Holy Spirit. I was talking about what this, the overwhelming of the Holy Spirit of God is necessary, and people have put that aside, and to a great extent, just like they're putting the Word of God aside, they want an experience, you know, but they don't know what they're supposed to experience, or they don't know who they're supposed to experience. They're just off on some, you know. It's no different than, you talk about Mike McIntosh, Horizon Christian Fellowship, used to talk about going on acid trips and stuff like that, astral travel, trying, you know, they didn't know what they were searching for. And there's a lot of people who don't know what they're searching for. It's always a disturbing thing to hear a professed Christian saying that he still hasn't found what he's looking for. And but he also claims that Judaism, Islam, and Jesus are all the same, so... The coming of the lawless one, the sign, lines, and wonders, and with all unrighteousness, deception among those who perish because they did not receive the love of the truth that they might be saved. Relativism has taken over the church today. Relativism say that you cannot be sure of anything because there is no absolute truth. The only truth is the truth that you know. And so now you hear everybody saying, well, that's my truth. Right? And and for this reason, God will send them strong delusion that they should believe the lie, that they all may be condemned who did not believe the truth, but had pleasure in unrighteousness. The World Evangelical Alliance is declaring 2020 as the year of the Bible. It's endorsed by Pope Francis, the Global Lausanne Network, Youth with a Mission, the United Bible Societies, the Seed Company, Biblico, and numerous other organizations. And you need to understand something. I am 100% the whole world. I'm 100% behind the whole world picking up the Bible and reading the Bible and hearing, you know, and hearing what it has to say. Because it's the power of God unto salvation to all who will believe. When it is a move of the Holy Spirit of God, it is going to affect those that read it, that those that pick it up. But my concern is this: if this is a program of modern day the ecumenism movement, it's for a different reason. I believe the falling away, this departure from truth, is directly related to this global interfaith movement that we're seeing. The message from pulpits is filled with social justice, secular humanism, relativism, the so-called social gospel, which is not a gospel at all. Community organization, it's a global religious movement that's going on. That's the truth. That's the reality of it. That's why I am not an ecumenical pastor. The message from pulpits is filled with these things. And what is tragically missing from the ecumenical movement is the unapologetic gospel of Jesus Christ. The result is a global one-world religion of I'm okay, you're okay, and we'll all acknowledge the same, we'll just say that it's the same God. It goes a lot deeper than that. I'm not going to get into all of these coalitions and stuff like that that have been formed. I mean, the Dalai Lama and the church and Hindu, all these other different things, and the recognition of the benevolent aspects of world religions. The global interfaith events include practitioners of witchcraft, voodoo, Santeria, Hinduism, Taoism, Buddhism, Wiccan, Mother Earth worship, pretty much every religious practice known to man, and the evangelical church is flocking to it in droves. Those involved are expected to value the spiritually beneficial perspective of all, you understand what they call it, faiths. Jesus was pretty clear, there is one faith. Paul states it in his letter to the Ephesians, one Lord, one faith. It's a call, and you find it in this call to peace, to bring unity in the church. Unity can only be founded on truth, not a false peace promoted by the world. Okay? And I'm all for peace. The world needs peace. But it's not the peace this world gives. It's the peace that only God can give. And everybody, I'd love to see everybody reading the Bible. But I'm not going to expose the body of Christ to the deception of ecumenism at the expense of the truth of God, period. Let me give you an example. In Colorado Springs, and you all know Colorado Springs? It is a melting pot of every world religion you can think of. Headquarters, Focus on the Family. I remember they used to be down in the corner of 57 and the 10 freeway where I grew up. They used to have a building down there, is considered the northwest part of Pomona, and heard that they were picking up and moving to Colorado Springs because everybody was moving to Colorado Springs. The occult and many of the headquarters of occults of the occult are in Colorado Springs. There is a blend of Christian organizations and not so Christian organizations in Colorado Springs. It's kind of a trip. It is a spiritual melting pot. And there is, and what happened there was that the head of the Catholic Church and a Jewish rabbi wrote a letter to the leadership of the evangelical churches there. This is paraphrased in a nutshell, but to kind of give you an idea of what this ecumenical movement is doing to the church. and how men are giving into it. Their complaint was that their youth, the Catholic youth and the Jewish youth, were being witnessed to by evangelical youth. They were telling the Jewish kids and even the kids that went to Catholic church about the Jesus of, you know, about the Bible and about Jesus. And they were receiving Christ. They were being saved. And the Catholic priest and the rabbi are mad. And so they write a letter to the leader of the evangelical churches there in Colorado Springs. The evangelical responded with what was basically an apology and expressed his own frustration with when his evangelical youth were being proselytized by the Catholic and Jewish youth. His solution was an agreement to not proselytize the youth of each of the other religions. So the youths of the evangelical church in Colorado Springs no longer allowed to fulfill the Great Commission. Do you understand that, what that is? Did you know the very cornerstone of ecumenism and all of these and this the unity between the Catholic Church and the evangelical church, what it was called the evangelical church, I don't know what it is anymore, but you know the cornerstone of the agreement is to not proselytize those in other denominations or any of the other church institutions? That is the... You can go see the agreements that they've made. So the church is agreeing to not fulfill what Christ has empowered it to do, to win souls to Christ. Because here's the thing, it doesn't matter if you're Baptist or Catholic or Calvary Chapel or Mormon, look. If you believe the truth, then you're going to agree with what the person is presenting to you when they open and share the gospel to you. Deception among those who are perishing because they did not receive the love of the truth that they might be saved. That's what Paul says. And so-called faith leaders are signing on in droves. Why? The globalization of religion. That's what we see. It's the spirit of Antichrist. It's the spirit of this world. All the deception is fueled by the absence of the gospel of Jesus Christ. It's culminated in a global climate gospel. That is where all religions can come to a peaceful agreement. You notice that? Where peace and unity come from? The world's going to end because you're breathing. And that's really what it's culminated to. What we're seeing is, and to a great extent, Romans chapter 1, Paul's letter to the Romans is prophetic for the church to a great extent. And he wrote, I'm just going to read this just as a way of reminder, for the wrath of God is revealed from heaven against all ungodliness and unrighteousness of men who suppress or hold down the truth in unrighteousness, because what may be known of God is manifest in them, for God has shown it to them. For since the creation of the world, His invisible attributes are clearly seen, being understood by the things that are made, even His eternal power and Godhead, so that they are without excuse, because although they knew God and they did not glorify Him as God, nor were thankful and became futile in their thoughts, and their foolish hearts were darkened. We were created in the image of God. We were created spirit, soul, and body. Sin turned that upside down, and now we're ruled by the flesh and we're ruled by the body. And what Jesus Christ came to do was to put down sin so that we can walk in righteousness, and so that we can live a life as we were created to live, and that is to be led by the Holy Spirit of God. And what he's saying is, every one of us innately, we're created with this desire to know God, and that there is a God, and to deny Him is just an unnatural thing. Professing to be wise, they became fools, and changed the glory of the incorruptible God into an image, made it like corruptible man and birds and four-footed animals and creeping things. Therefore, God also gave them up to uncleanness and the lusts of their hearts, to dishonor their bodies among themselves, who exchanged the truth of God for the lie and worshiped and served the creature rather than the Creator, who is blessed forever. Amen. Listen, earth worship, global climate gospel, it's all the same thing. It's worshiping the creation. For this reason, God gave them up to vile passions, for even their women exchanged the natural use for what is against nature. Likewise, also the men, leaving the natural use of the woman, burned in their lust for one another, men with men, committing what is shameful and receiving in themselves the penalty of their error, which was due. So many writing that, you know, because Jesus never said anything about homosexuality, I'm going to ruffle some feathers or whatever, you know, that the Bible just doesn't talk about it. He absolutely does. In fact, God gives instruction against androgyny. He told the children of Israel in the law of Moses, men will dress like men, women will dress like women, and you know, don't do otherwise. I mean, and it's throughout the scripture, so there's another lie that, or deception, that much of the church has accepted. And even as they did not like retain God in their knowledge, God gave them over to a debased mind to do those things which are not fitting, which are unnatural, being filled with all unrighteousness, sexual immorality, wickedness, covetousness, maliciousness, full of envy, murder, strife, deceit, evil-mindedness. They are whisperers, backbiters, haters of God, violent, proud, boasters, inventors of evil things, disobedient to parents, undiscerning, untrustworthy, unloving, unforgiving, unmerciful. And that's pretty much an indictment on our culture and society today. And I know, look, I know that there are people and those that are in Christ that are trying to walk in righteousness and live in righteousness, but the reality of it, the temperature, I mean, just look at what's going on in our society and shootings and killings and, you know, over dumb disagreements, whether you're a Democrat or a Republican, you know, I hate this, I hate that. Here's the thing, we have cheapened life. We've cheapened life. There is no value on life today because it steps on my rights. It steps, you know, what me and I want to do and how I want to live. So it's a me culture, who knowing the righteous judgment of God, that those who practice such things are deserving of death. Not only do the same, but also approve of those who practice them. Oh, I wouldn't do it. You know, you hear this excuse for abortion today in the church. I would never do it, but I support, you know, a woman's right to choose. I'm going to tell you what Paul says right there, according to how God sees it. Even if you support it, whether you do it or not, it's no different than you doing it. It's the way God sees it. That's why he said, you know, when he's talking about divorce, unless other by fornication, you know, which he gave you because of the hardness of your heart. But he goes, I say that if you even conceived in your mind, if you even thought about it, you've already committed that sin. That's the severity of sin and that stinking thinking, you know. So, we get this view of, and certainly it's ramping up, 2019. Paul says in Ephesians chapter 6, verse 10 through 12, finally, my brethren, be strong. And here's where the church is losing. This is why the church is slipping. This is, I believe, one of the major reasons why there is a falling away. And it's right here. Be strong in the Lord and in the power of his might. Put on the whole armor of God that you may be able to stand against the wiles of the devil. I mean, there's books being, you know, there's being books. Is there a heaven? Is there a hell? You know, is there really a devil? Come on. You don't believe that there's a little guy, red guy, running around with a forked tail and a pitchfork, do you? Well, no, I don't, because that's not what he looks like, you know. He was the most beautiful being God had created before he created man. Led worship in heaven. He can appear as an angel of light, Scripture says. He's not a little red guy running around with a pointed mustache, you know. All those different pictures you see. But we see that being questioned, the reality. For we do not wrestle against flesh and blood, but against principalities, against powers, against rulers of the darkness of this age, and against spiritual hosts of wickedness in the heavenly places. And so, what's going on? Well, to a certain extent, the church is spiritually blind to the fact that these things are going on behind the scenes. To a great extent, they're denying that they're even going on behind the scenes, because the spirit, or the church is not walking in the Spirit and not being led by the Holy Spirit of God, so that we have discernment of these things, of what is truth and what is not truth, and what, you know, what is of God and what is not of God. I'm gonna throw some stuff out that became big in 2019. Just kind of give you an idea, and we'll address as we kind of go along, and I'll just see what the Lord wants. But drag queen story time, right? Going on in your public libraries, championed by society. These are all things that, you know, if I'd have told my father before he passed away that this was gonna be happening, my dad would have said, "No, there's no way, no way that society would ever accept that." Yet we're openly exposing our children to that. There was a 6'5" male who won the Woman of the Week award at the University of Montana this year. Listen, homosexuality was just the door, and I know that everybody says, "Hey, the church harps on homosexuality." Look, it's only one of the sexual immoralities. It's only one of the parts of what the Bible talks about as sexual immorality. It's the reason why the church is talking about it is because they've put it in our face to a great extent, and we have to take a stand. But did you know that, I think it was this year, 2019, that there's a guy charged in Western Michigan for bestiality? There's all kinds of sexual perversion going on. It's just a door. Now we have gender confusion, gender creation, and people are not even declaring a gender for their children on their birth certificate when they're born. Because, you know, they have the wherewithal and the wisdom at 5 or 6 to make that decision for themselves. Listen, I'm going to tell you right now, there's parts of the church institution that are accepting that. Falling away. If you didn't think Harry Potter, you know, if you're one of those that thought Harry Potter was just one of those benign books of good versus evil, and, you know, when that whole controversy came out and the church needs to lighten up, and, you know, I've always stood pretty firmly, I said, you do what you want to do in your home, it's not welcome here. Many church youth groups have been taken through a Harry Potter beside the Bible courses and classes. It was at United Methodist right out by me in Commerce, right on the thing. Harry Potter and the Bible. Because, you know, there's good magic and there's bad magic and good versus evil, and it kind of represents that in the Harry Potter. Well, it's represented in the Bible very clearly. Here's the thing. The Bible's clear that there's no such thing as good magic and bad magic. It's all bad because it's demonic. It's all deceiving signs and wonders. And now, there are more practicing professed witches in the United States of America than there are Presbyterians? And guess what? There's a generation that's come up that's fascinated with it, and the church, to a great extent, did not protect them from this. God said that when, you know, he told the children of Israel, when you go into the land that I've given you, I want you to take down all the high places. I want you to get rid of all of the priests of Baal. I want all of the conjurers, which is magic, you know, those that practice magic. I want them all wiped out because I will not be worshipped that way. That's a pretty clear statement by God. Yet today, witchcraft on the rise. It's one of the fastest rising religions in the world today. Voodoo dolls are sold openly in department stores. The world's largest Ouija board called Ouijazilla. Did you hear about this? Was unveiled in a park in Salem, Massachusetts this year. 400-pound, whatever that thing is that they call it, you know, that you're supposed to, that supposedly follows the spirits. 400-pound on these pegs and stuff like that. So visitors to the park, open to the public, can go in and they can play with the Ouija board, which is, you know, that's not a big deal, right? I remember I came in one day, one morning, and on the bench out front was a Ouija board with a note that said, I know this is wrong, and I've been messing with it, and I don't want it anymore, and I don't know how to get rid of it. Will you get rid of it for me? You know, one of the things it says, do not burn it. People are even afraid if they burn it that it's going to bring a curse upon them, all right? And so we took care of it. I don't know. Mike, I gave it to Mike. I think Mike burned it, so I don't really care, because greater is he who is in me than he who is in the world. But this stuff is real. I've talked to people that they've been with people that, and they're like, oh, I'll go check it out. And when things really started manifesting themselves and answers were coming that nobody would, they're like, it's demonic. There's demonic activity behind these things. The church doesn't believe that. The church institution doesn't believe that. Those who have discernment understand that very clearly. But how has the church gotten to where it is right now? Because it doesn't have to, it's capitulating to everything. Amazon, Walmart, Target, Barnes & Noble, numerous other large stores are selling the Children's Book of Demons, which has become prominent in 2019. It teaches children ages 5 to 10 the specific color and sigil to draw in order to summon some 72 different demons. Each have their own little color and sigil. And they have little stories behind it. If you're frustrated with your homework, if you want to get out of your chores, this kind of thing, you can summon a demon to help you and have fun. The drawing of the demon is inspired by Baphomet and includes the as above, so below hand sign. So Baphomet is a demon that that you can draw. As above, so below hand sign. You recognize that? That is a term used by New Age occultism that was in, what's his face? I used to know his name. That basically was included in the Message Bible. I put with a little B because it's not the Bible. When Jesus was teaching his disciples to pray in the Message Bible, he said, as above, so below. It's an occultic saying that was held by the New Age, by New Age occultic practices. Instead of on earth as it is in heaven. The second name is Corydon, passed off as a funny jokester demon who's going to make you laugh and says, speaks in certain ways and says certain little things. Corydon is also the name of a pedophile character in Virgil's Ecloge. He was the shepherd in love with a boy named Alexis. Corydon, there's another famous French writer who used the word Corydon in his book about homosexuals and transgenders, and that he was also a, you understand that, like, there are those that are in support of pedophilia in Europe. There's movements and small groups out there that are trying to get it legal to be pedophiles. All right, well, this is one of the guys. And he uses the name Corydon, and it basically is a term for boy love, pedophilia. Just so you know, Schuller of the Crystal Cathedral is one of the architects, along with Pope John Paul II, of the ecumenical movement that we're seeing today. And suffice to say, Schuller was a false prophet, and he went on, what went on at the Crystal Cathedral was not biblical. In fact, he brought all of these different occults in. He had workshops with New Agers and mystics and different things. And so this ecumenism we see today, Schuller in the Crystal Cathedral was a big part of that. And just as a warning, Rick Warren was a huge student of Schuller, Robert Schuller. So, and that's all I'll say about Rick. I have a pastor friend got in trouble for speaking about Rick Warren. Maybe you know him, Ken Graves. He was blackballed from teaching at conferences. He made the mistake of in Southern California, where Greg Laurie was, and Greg's a real good friend of Rick Warren's. I think he called him a punk. And Greg Laurie got up and said, "Well, I happen to think otherwise of him." And Ken was blackballed for a while. So, where has that led the church? It's led it to being undiscerning of the signs of end times and biblically illiterate, because guess what they all espouse? The prophecies of end times are none of our business. But clearly Jesus said otherwise, Paul said otherwise, that we're to know what's going on and we're to live intently. In fact, Jesus ends Matthew 24 and he talks about the wise servant and the evil servant. The wise servant was what? He was doing what he was supposed to do as the master had told him, in anticipation that the master could return any time. The wise church is living that way, according to his word, because he can return at any time. What did the evil servant do? The evil servant, I do whatever I want. He ain't coming back. I was listening to a pastor today, and he said, "Hey, look, my grandmother used to talk about the return of Christ, right? Probably your great-great-great-great-grandmother, if she's a Christian, or grandfather, if they're Christians, talked about the return of Christ. He hasn't come, he isn't going to come, right?" What does the Bible say? It's that when they start mocking that way, where's the promise of his return? Then you know that it's close at hand. I believe Jesus said, "Don't you know that friendship," or I believe it was Jesus, it might have been Paul. I know it's in the scriptures. "Don't you know friendship with the world is enmity with God?" 2019 saw a clear revelation of what I would call the parachurch falling away. It's falling away. We used to talk about it. Does that mean that people are losing their salvation? No, it's just making it evident that a lot of what says it's the church, a lot of those who profess to be Christians or would say that they're Christians don't have any idea what they're saying, or the one that they profess to be a follower and a disciple of. It's just the tip of the iceberg for the church. Everything is going according to God's plan. He knew this would happen, right? What did he say? When the Son of Man returns, will he find faith in the world? Will he find faith on the earth? Jesus knew. That was a rhetorical question, right? It's not like Jesus didn't know the answer to the question. It's what we're seeing today, the evidence. Jerusalem 2019 was very, very, very interesting. The hornet's nest got stirred by our president first fulfilling the promise and moving the American embassy from Tel Aviv to Jerusalem. Oh my goodness gracious. You see the demonic influence just writhing with that one. Right? And then he signed a declaration that Jerusalem is the capital of Israel. And that was it. I'm going to tell you what the underpinning of what's going on in Washington today is more about that than it is anything else. We know that Ezekiel 38 and 39 are already in place for the most part. Turkey, Russia, and Syria, Damascus, we're just waiting for Damascus to be blown up. A lot of Syria is already blown up. But you've got Iran, Russia, Iran, and China have announced that they're going to do war games together and practice war. So you got Russia, a lot of pretty much the whole consortium of Gog Magog are already at play in the Middle East and Northern Africa. All right, it's there. In 2019, Jerusalem News revealed that Putin had written something to this effect, writing to Benjamin Netanyahu, citing that there's only one reason why Russia is not at war with Israel, and that's because we meet every couple of months. Putin has a great deal of respect for Netanyahu. It was the only reason that they weren't at war. Had anybody else been prime minister, the Battle of Gog Magog may have already happened or started. That's from Putin to Netanyahu. But Netanyahu is proving to be one of the greatest statesmen of our time, able to meet with both Putin and Trump and curry the favor of America for the time being, right? God's allowing this on his timetable. In 2019, Netanyahu won a second election by a landslide for the Likud party, all right? The problem is there's a blue party, which is liberals, that want to get rid of him. And he was unable to form a clear majority in the Knesset. So there is a third election that is scheduled for March 2020. What's that? March 2nd, to be exact. It is an unprecedented thing that's going on in Israel. I don't understand. They don't operate the way we do. Just because one of them gets a clear, they get voted or win a primary, then they have to go and they have to get Breaking News Israel. It's a couple of guys that do news for Israel. The significance of them is these guys are prophecy watchers. They're not Christians. They're religious Jews. Okay? Who believe that the prophecies concerning Israel are coming true right now, and they're watching all of them, all right? This will blow your mind. And on December 25th, 2019, they put out their top 10 prophecies of 2019. One of them really kind of stands out. The other ones are interesting. But the one that stands out, devout Jews are watching the prophecies that are coming to pass that anticipate the coming of Messiah. Unfortunately, we know they missed him. What they're looking for and what they're going to accept is a false Messiah. But this is fascinating. They're reading the scriptures very, very closely. One interesting prophecy they cite is Zechariah 12:12, and the land shall mourn, every family by itself, the family of the house of David by itself, and their wives by themselves, and the family of the house of Nathan by itself, and their wives by themselves. They believe Israel's elections are going exactly as prophesied by Zechariah, this anticipation. They're watching intently with the belief that the unprecedented third election is going to have the exact same results as the first two. This is what the believing Jews, practicing Jews that are looking at scriptures believe and understand. They believe it's going to have the same result, and that with Netanyahu's inability to form a coalition is going to bring about the dissolution of the government, and that failure is necessary for the promised rebirth or resurrection of the Davidic dynasty. Crazy. So that's what they're looking at from the other side, because that's what their hope is, right? The Davidic covenant. This is a pre-shadowing of the anticipation of the coming of the Son of David. And they believe Messiah is coming, but we know a false Messiah is coming. They're going to receive him because of a peace treaty to rebuild the temple. We've gone over that with the 70 weeks of Daniel. And here's the thing. Our president, Trump, is Israel's greatest ally. It's why part of our nation hates him so much. As I said, it's the underlying reason of what's going on. Don't buy into this Russian collusion. They're just trying to hide the fact that they're the ones that were colluding with Russia. You know, they're mad Putin is the Middle East authority. Did you know that Putin is considered the new reigning king of the Middle East? That he is now the power broker of the Middle East. It's also why they hate Netanyahu, because Putin respects him and will not force Israel to bow to the world's demands. You know those things. It's the oxymorons of the UN resolutions. Everything is against Israel. They thought that if they, you know, had authority and could keep the Middle East at bay, that they could somehow force Israel into this land of peace, land for peace thing. And, you know, because as long as Trump's in office and Putin is the authority there, this whole Palestinian thing is not gonna, it's not gonna get any traction. Impeachment and the attempted undermining of Netanyahu by the Obama administration have or are going to fail, because this is gonna be according to God's timeline, and it won't fail. But it does make March an interesting date. We don't know the day or time, but it could be what sets the things in motion. I was listening to this pastor, and you know, there are those that if he can't be impeached, they hope that he's assassinated. They're even saying it, just so you know. Could it happen? I don't know. I'm voting for him. I just tell you. Because of his record of, you know, those things that he has done that are good and that are right. It's going to be it's interesting to watch. March 2nd, 2020. Will he be removed? Will Netanyahu fail to get a coalition opening the door for Putin? The practicing Jews believe it has to happen for Son of David to come and appear. That's what they're looking for. Pretty crazy. So, and for the church, look, man, in the end times, we understand that we know what God saw through the vision of John. You're going to have a little strength. Stay faithful to my word. Do not deny my name. That's what we're called to. And so that's what we're going to do. And so just my, you know, encouragement there is, and really the Lord, I'm just praying about it. I'm going to meet with the leadership on Friday. We're going to have our dinner and stuff like that. And so you're here and you're going to hear this, but this is what the Lord's put on my heart for 2020. He goes on in 2 Thessalonians, we're bound to give thanks to God always for you, brethren, beloved by the Lord, because God from the beginning chose you for salvation through sanctification by the Spirit and belief in the truth. Relativism cannot exist in the church where the Holy Spirit is, period. Those of you that are philosophers and struggle with that, I'm sorry, but that's the truth. Don't ask me if I know for a fact, because I do. It says it right there. How's that? To which he called you by our gospel for the obtaining of the glory of our Lord Jesus Christ. Therefore, brethren, stand fast and hold the traditions which you were taught, whether by word or our epistle, the traditions of the truth. Now may our Lord Jesus Christ himself and our God and Father, who has loved us and given us every everlasting consolation and good hope by grace, comfort your hearts and establish you in every good word and work. Just, man, trust in him. Trust in the Lord. Trust in his word. You know, to a certain extent, don't get frazzled by the world's razzle-dazzle, everything that's going on. I'm guilty. I'm guilty. I mean, there's a couple of government representatives that I've taken into the woodshed already in my mind. But it doesn't matter, because it's God's timetable and he's doing it. So, and it's going to all work out according to what he has already planned. Is it March? We'll see. Could be coming. But we are to stand fast on the truth that we have been told and what we have learned, all right? And we, knowing this, that, and just like the virgins, right? There are 10 wise, or 5 wise virgins, 5 unwise virgins. The ones that were walking, that were born again of the Holy Spirit of God, they were both invited, right? They were both a part, invited to be a part of the wedding party, but only 5 of them chose to be ready. There were 5 unwise that did not have the oil. They did not have the Holy Spirit. Now you get this picture of those that were truly walking in the Spirit of God and those who just were, professing to believe. Be the wise servant. Listen, be the wise servant. Believe his word and be living as if he can return at any time. Right? The world's scoffing. And they're going to get rid of who they're going to get rid of. There's nothing that, there's no amount of worrying and, the way my mind works, I do bad things in my mind to these people, but not going to change anything. Man, our hope is he's coming for his church, and I can't wait. Can't wait for that. Lord, we just pray that you would continue to lead us and guide us by your truth, Lord. And as we see these things happening, Lord, that we would look up, for our salvation is near. And so, Lord, and even today, it's nearer than it was yesterday, and we know that. So, Lord, help us to live in that expectation and anticipation, standing firmly upon your truth. We see it. We see it happening, Lord. And we just pray for those that we love, that, Lord, you would open their eyes, that they would see that it's true, that there is good and evil, that there is our powers and spirits of darkness, Lord, that are trying to destroy what God has done. And so, Lord, we pray that you would open their eyes and see what's coming. And we thank you, Lord, that you haven't left us just to fend for ourselves, but that we can see it, Lord. And we hope and trust, Lord, that your plan is to draw us up to the wedding feast. So we pray that protect us and the church, Lord, for now, and just help us to have eyes to see and ears to hear what you have. And pray this in Jesus' holy and precious name. Amen.